came down eastbound lanes of Spear Boulevard yesterday and snaked through downtown to a rally at the state capitol.
We're supporting Mexico and the countries that all the people are from.
There were no problems reported with the police, saying it was like a family event. About 75,000 people attended. Ground will be broken next month for a new parking garage at DIA. Denver City Council okayed spending $42 million on a five-level garage. It'll be built on DIA's west side. And a deal close to being completed for TV actor Rick Schroeder's Mesa Mood Ranch southwest of Grand Junction. A report in the Wall Street Journal says the property is under contract for $27 million. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Tim Lewis. Now here's Tony Jones with AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
It's a very heavy, slow drive on our highways. It's going to take about a half hour to get between downtown and the tech center, southbound 25. Crews are still cleaning up an accident on the left shoulder at Evans, where a cab did go into the wall earlier this morning. They're still trying to get that out of the way. I-70 is also loaded up in both directions as you're making your way across that elevated portion of 70. Speeds are in the 30s as you're coming in from Boulder on 36 between Federal and I-25. And west of town, a motorcycle went down eastbound 6, coming on to C-470. That's time. Up the ramp. I'm Tony Jones, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
If you'd like to save on your next tank of gas, be sure to use your SuperCard when you do your weekly shopping. Accumulate $100 in grocery purchases and you'll save 10 cents a gallon on your next fill-up at any King Supers fuel center. See store for details. King Supers, right store, right price.
Recent reports have shown teen drivers at greater risk for fatal accidents. In fact, more American teenagers die in car wrecks than any other way, over 5,000 per year. Caution your kids about drinking, drugs, distractions, reckless driving, and their future records. Spell it out for them. This is from KD Canopy, specializing in instant setup canopies. Great for shelter from the sun and light showers. Great for poolside or concession stands. Log on to kdcanopy.com.
Faster than a Republican's Lexus. More powerful than a K Street lobbyist. Able to leap tall lies in a single bound. This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 8:06, 6 minutes after 8, high today, 76 degrees, and they're calling thundershowers on and off today. We'll have to see what blows up later this afternoon. Meanwhile, it's good to have you along here at 303-713-7600. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for being here most mornings. Certainly do appreciate it. We're kind of taking a look now. We're kind of taking a back away from the immigration story and are taking a look at Iraq 3 years later. Joining us is a friend of the show, Rand Beers, a former White House counterterrorism advisor for President George W. Bush, also served in the Reagan, Bush 1 and Clinton administration. 5 days before the Iraqi invasion, he quit, and 8 weeks later, he joined the John Kerry presidential campaign as Senator Kerry's national security advisor. And, Rand, welcome back to the program. Good to have you on.
Good to be here.
All right. Here we are 3 years later after the infamous aircraft incident. The aircraft carrier incident. We've got 2,400 U.S. military deaths. Maybe it might even be higher. An estimated 35,000 civilian deaths. That could also and probably is higher. And Rand, what have we gotten out of all of this?
At this point, not much. I mean, 3 years after the mission accomplished speech, quite correctly cited the number of dead, the number of Iraqi casualties. We have a military that's stretched to the breaking point, at least among the ground forces. We have a center of terrorism where none existed before, attacking U.S. forces and Iraqis in Iraq. We have an insurgency that's on the verge, if it isn't already, a civil war. The Iraqi security forces, despite several years of training, still aren't up to the task. And today we learned that in a graduation ceremony, there was a disruption by individuals who thought that they were going to be able to serve in their own geographic areas as opposed to being sent around the country, and were quite upset by that. We have the third government in 3 years. The first two were unsuccessful in terms of quelling the insurgency. Everybody hopes that this one will be able to, but the challenges are enormous. Meanwhile, the reconstruction effort has electricity below pre-war levels, oil below pre-war levels, a lack of potable water, a bunch of reconstruction projects which are sort of half done because the security costs simply made it impossible to complete them. And even without those, we've got a bunch of money that simply disappeared into the contracting world without any accountability, and that's coming from the IG that this administration appointed. So mission accomplished hardly. Seems to me like we're in the middle of a swamp right now.
And there doesn't seem to be any way out. And what you were there, I mean, what before you quit before the invasion, but what was the administration's thinking prior to going in? Did we go for the oil? Did we go because we needed a strategic base there? Did we go for both? Did we go because we certainly didn't, they didn't certainly believe in their heart of hearts that there were WMDs there, did they?
Well, I mean, I think it's a sort of a mixed bag. First of all, let me say, I was not involved in the detailed planning for the invasion of Iraq. I was working on terrorism. Terrorism in that particular time frame in the White House was looking at preventing acts of terrorism against the United States at the point that it was going into Iraq, either by the Iraqi intelligence services or al-Qaeda looking to catch us, looking the other way. So I was really not part of those deliberations, but certainly from the people that I knew and the people that I talked to, I think it really was a mixed bag. I think that there were some people who thought that the risk of weapons of mass destruction was significant enough that this was an important test. But I do think that there were other reasons, as you pointed out, like oil and wanting to ensure that if Saudi Arabia somehow imploded, that there would be another secure source of oil, the notion of bases, the notion of rearranging the political map in the Persian Gulf, Middle East area, the notion of taking on Saddam for trying to kill George Bush's father.
Wait a minute, you think that was part of it too? The notion of taking on George H.W. Bush was going to get even for the fact that Saddam tried to kill his father?
I think that that was not a primary motivation,
but it was in there.
But it was something when all the other things that were added in were looked at was an additional benefit, if you want to call it that, for George the Younger. But no, I'm not in any way trying to say that it was the principal motivating factor.
All right, it's 8:12, 12 minutes after 8 here at AM 760 Progressive Talk. Rand Beers on the line with us, former White House counterterrorism advisor to President George W. Bush, and also served in the Reagan, Bush 1, and Clinton administration. If I came to you now and I said, Rand, all right, how are we going to get out of this? What would be your best assessment on how to back out of this whole problem?
Well, I think that we have to recognize that our presence in Iraq today is as much a part of the problem as it may be contributing to the solution, and that there are a lot of people who believe that, a lot of Iraqis who believe that Iraq would have a better chance without us there. Secondly, I think that the political establishment there has been using our presence there as a crutch for avoiding the difficult political compromises that the Sunni and Shia communities are going to have to make in order to coexist. I'm not suggesting that this government has to be a strict and centrally guided government. I think that there has to be some autonomy for the Sunni and the Shia and the Kurdish communities because they have different communities and different desires. But that also means that you have to share the oil wealth in proportion to the population. So I would say that we should tell the government that we are leaving, that we have no permanent base intentions, that we will withdraw our combat forces sometime in 2007, certainly by the time we get to 2008, that it will be orderly, that we will have